Moving from the West Coast a little ways off is to Colorado, and as I think most of you know, Colorado for a period had a system in place that resembled California's in that it clearly legalized medical use, but it didn't mention dispensaries. And there were lots of dispensaries that were in business, but they all called themselves caregivers. Some of them had as many as 3,500 patients they were giving care to, and the only care they were giving was providing their medical marijuana. So the legislature finally stepped in recently, and we've asked Warren Edson to tell us a little about that new set of laws and regulations. Obviously, it wasn't terribly popular to some of the dispensaries when it was being debated, so the question is now, how are folks living under it? Warren is a partner in the firm of Cuman Summers. He's a principal in Medical Cannabis Council. He's a lifetime member of the Normal Legal Committee. And the last time I heard, I think he represented something like 40 different dispensaries in the state. Warren, please tell us about that new law.
Thanks, Keith. Okay, I got about 12 minutes to describe to you guys a very unusual system. Because, again, like I always said, now for something completely different. Because we in Colorado are doing this completely differently. There's a remote. As it indicates there, and I double-checked this morning, this is off by about 23,000 people, but we're at a state of about 5 million people. And at least according to the Department of Health a couple weeks ago, combining the current official patients they have with the people that are backlogged, which is something to the tune of 70,000 applications, we got about 170,000 people either licensed or waiting to be licensed in Colorado. That, when you start doing the math, is a pretty high percentage. How does this go? There we go. Okay, what did we have? We used to have, as Keith described, not really a California system. We did in the sense that we had to be caregivers in order to dispense and possess marijuana. But we had a for-profit system all the way since day one. But then, damn, California reared its ugly head in the form of case law about 2 years ago, and we adopted the People v. Clendenin case, and all of a sudden we had that the caregiver definition from California that included wellness services, meeting the patients, and a whole lot of stuff that we hadn't really been doing. We then had the Department of Health come in and say, ignore that, and then, again, the Clendenin case raise its ugly head again and say, no, you can't ignore it. And so I stood here in front of you all a year ago and said, gosh, we have a dispensary system. It appears to be working. We have patients getting meds, but it's about to get regulated. That was probably the understatement of the year. We suffered through 4 to 6 months of regulation like you've never seen. We have a state with a $60 million budget deficit, and if you didn't know better, you'd think marijuana was the only issue that the legislature addressed last year. We ended up with something that was 90-some-odd pages. I made beautiful notes. We prepared all these presentations, whereupon they changed the font size, and it shrunk to 62 pages so that it would look better, and I'm sure so they could F up my notes. But anyway, we now have three new statutory defenses. We have licenses from the city and state, and we have zoning out the yin-yang. Why? Because we're real business now, and it really is in Colorado. But it shifted from back rooms and basements and things that feel like a drug dealer's room to retail locations and nice, pretty, clean shops. And all of a sudden, we got landlords that are incredibly happy, and we have cities collecting tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you hadn't heard the news, in the last 30 days, just in the month of August, the state collected over $9 million in licensing fees from the medical marijuana centers, on top of raiding the patients' fund for an additional $9 million. $18 million in 30 days out of a state of 5 million people. But we now have all this stuff that's driving our people crazy, our people being I have to get rid of the dispensary word, because as we're about to talk about it, it's a whole new world. My medical marijuana center people, owners, because I can say owners, because again, for profit, it isn't this collective cooperative crap. But they have to deal with employee rules, and they have to deal with OSHA, and all paying taxes, 7.4% in Denver. Okay. But lo and behold, as I said, we now have these. This is this new crazy language that we're all trying to use. No dispensaries, no collectives, no cooperatives. We're medical marijuana centers. Again, not dispensaries, not caregivers, no meet and greet requirements. These are like flipping liquor stores, okay? No ifs, ands, or buts. A patient with a pretty red card from the state, if and when they ever get one, gets to walk into these places wherever they want, in whatever part of the state they want, and shop. But again, they're for profit. All of a sudden with 1284, and yes, they're groans. It's painful. This thing isn't perfect. But our employees are really covered now. Because back in the day, under Amendment 20, when it was pure Amendment 20, there was real question as to how the poor schmuck behind the counter making 10 to 12 bucks an hour was legally handing weed over to the patient walking in. They weren't named on anything. They weren't the patient's caregiver. But now they're covered. And then the part that really hurt our growers, but again, I'm just describing what's in place. The MMCs are now in charge of both wholesaling and retailing. Okay, they can retail to patients, or as it indicates, they can wholesale to other MMCs, the remaining caregivers, as well as infused product manufacturers. Again, they can sell to any patient that walks in from Colorado, because we are statist. But they can sell to any patient that comes in, but the patient can only name one center that's in charge of growing their medicine. Now, we have this other word, OPCO. Drop all this stuff on optional premises cultivation operation. That's our tricky way of saying a grow site. Okay? They must be connected with an MMC. Okay? They must be connected within a center. And it's readily apparent that the Department of Revenue, who's now in charge of this program, is going to require direct ownership of these. All marijuana from that licensed premises must go to the MMC. Again, no freelance growers anymore. Okay, the weed goes from the grow site, goes to the MMC, and then the MMC is now the wholesaler and the retailer. And in an interesting kind of positive twist, we do have a whole lot of consumer information type stuff in 1284, one of which is that the marijuana must be labeled detailing what non-organic products were used in the production. Okay, and I'm glad people are clapping, because that wasn't really the response in Colorado from the general population. It was, you know, get the F out of my basement. But one thing, please note, it does talk about non-organic, because I remind all my folks, if it's Grandpa's secret bat poop recipe, hopefully that's organic and you're not having to detail it. But if you're using Fox Farms, other products, they want you to list it. And unfortunately, in the realm of over-regulation, even if a patient goes into a center and buys a frigging gram, the center is supposed to include a little sticker or a card saying, you know, this product was used in the production of this gram, okay? Finally, we have the third form of state licensing. And, yes, we can get really tricky with you because we want to confuse people more. And so we call it an infused product manufacturer. And this too often gets mislabeled as an edible maker. Okay? And yes, brownies and cookies and cakes and all the fun stuff that they're making now, it is included in this. But it also includes hash, keef, and other products. And in a really interesting kind of fine line that the state's drawing is them getting into the nitty-gritty of defining what is an infused product and isn't. And coming down to this fine line of hashish and keef and other products that are made with screens, water, ice, and traditional extraction methods versus those that use chemicals or other items. Now, we have had some confusion over that, and eventually, once our state government has better faith in our labs, I think they will start believing some of these other extraction methods that might be a little more obscure or might seem scary at first and realize that those aren't really leaving any. Because it took me a while to figure out when they're talking about infused products, it's not necessarily just the brownie that's infused with THC, but it's also that keef that maybe has some residual alcohol or butane or whatever the heck's in it. And so, yes. Weirdly enough, infused products that are made with chemicals are labeled as infused products and, in fact, aren't supposed to be smoked. And that's going to be the kind of weird thing. All these MMCs have to switch over and have a little sign because the stuff that's made with the chemicals is not intended for smoking from the very definition of the product. But the fun part and the, man, this lobbying group, whoever worked for the IPM folks, did an amazing job at the last second of getting this last clause in. And that's that if you're an infused product manufacturer and you have a grow site for your infused products, there's no plant limits under state law. Let me emphasize the state law thing. But, yeah, there's no plant limits. Patients don't have to sign you up. It, under state law, as long as you have this license, you could grow a million plants, but all that weed has got to go into your infused products and can't be sold as raw weed. But, you know, the leash is totally off these folks. Interestingly enough, why? Because it appears our state government wants to promote ingestion of this in a manner that is not smoked. Okay. Yes, smoking's bad. Smoking's bad, even though I heard today it might not be that bad, cannabis-wise. But according to the state, smoking's bad. Go. So what do we got? A hell of a lot of money, okay? In an economic environment and a state that's doing okay but still is getting hit by the crummy economy, we got over 400 medical marijuana centers in Denver alone, okay? And I mean licensed ones. Okay, I'm ignoring the other, someone that might not be licensed. But 400 of these suckers. And when you sit down with real estate or landlords, you can keep emphasizing, guys, that's, you know, a lot of real estate spaces that would be empty if we weren't doing this. And as I said, there are the numbers that many of the fine people in this room from Colorado paid on August 1st, even though they'd only had about 45 days notice that these were the actual numbers and there wasn't a goddamn bank in the state that would loan them a cent. But all these folks came up with this. $1,500 for a grow, each one. $1,500 per commercial kitchen to make the infused products. And as you can see under the MMCs, if you want to help 0 to 301 patients, it was $7,500. 302 to 501, $12,500. And 501 to infinity turned out to be $18,500. Okay? And again, in a matter of about 2 weeks, the state took in over $9 million in licensing fees. Not good. Parts of this aren't good, okay? And we're going to have to litigate it, and there's going to be tweaks. And it's been interesting. You know, if you see Brian Vicente in the back of the room, talk to him about the 25-person panel he's on with the Department of Revenue, because it's fascinating. They invited some of us on this panel for once, and they're going to work and start to iron out some of these details. But some of the stuff does suck right now, okay? Drug felons can't play this game. Makes no sense. Again, you know, the guys come into my office. You mean if I raped somebody 6 years ago, I could do this, but because I, you know, sold an ounce of weed to my buddy in college 20 years ago and it was a felony back in New York, I'm out of this game. And unfortunately, that is the situation now. If you have an other type of felony, it needs to be more than 5 years old. You can't got to be over 21. And guess what? As I mentioned before, and it's a new term to me. I'm not even sure this is a real term. But apparently we in Colorado are status, okay? We so hate everybody from out of state and wanted to so keep the friggin' Californians out. We wrote this stupid thing so that you have to live in the state for 2 years.
You look human.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? Well, he got in first, you know, just before the bell. But I had inside info. So, but yeah, this 2-year residency requirement is just ridiculous. And at some point, it's going to get litigated because it's just stupid. And there's no other industry in the history of industry that has this kind of thing, whether it's gambling, liquor, or anything. But that is in place now. And I'm jaded enough to think it's in place on purpose and they knew it was going to get knocked out because it's so freaking stupid. But it is in place and the politicians can now say, oh, we tried to keep those Californians out. And finally, we still have caregivers. They've been relegated to next to nothing. They can only help 5 patients unless they receive a waiver from the state that we're pretty sure the state's never going to friggin' give. They can only charge for the cost of manufacturing their caregiver services. The good part is they aren't considered a commercial business yet, so they aren't taxed. There's not zoning issues. They can buy it from other MMCs. Unfortunately, 2 of them can't share the same grows, so it can't be a, you know, get a whole bunch of caregivers in the same place and plant a couple thousand plants. And they can't sell their extra ever. It's got to go straight to the patients, okay? But that's the system we got. And In conclusion, yeah, there's good parts and there's bad parts. We have these weird bands. We have a whole industry that, you know, that can no longer listen to Bob Dylan. You know, you can't make this medicine in your basement anymore in Colorado, okay? And that hurts a lot of people, and a lot of people invested money. But long-term, most of these things are going to get ironed out, and we think this is going to work. It's collecting a lot of money for the city and the states, and that has turned the tide, because the key factor in Colorado is, and the people aren't realizing, what the heck just happened? We had a legislative debate where it went on and on and on for days, and the issue wasn't how bad marijuana is. It was figuring out, how do we sell it? How do we get it to people? How do we work out a system? How do we bash our head against the wall to figure out a way to distribute a Schedule I drug? But the debate was never, this is bad. It was just, let's figure out how to do it. And that's been the complete positive shift. And hopefully it'll continue in that manner. Thank you very much.